PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, fellow golfers, to Off Course Episode 5. That's four more than one. It's 495 less than 500, which is my target goal. I'm here with Rob, aka Rob Miller Time on social. My name is Dan Edwards. You can find me on Twitter at Canadan Golf. And you can also find Off Course on Twitter and Instagram at Off Course THP. Roberto, welcome to episode 5.
I can't believe we got here. I'm happy. Very happy. We only have 494 to go after this one. It's a limited engagement of 500.
It's all downhill from here.
That's right.
So it's funny you say that and bringing on this all downhill stuff. I remember stories back in my youth that I was told that my parents had to walk to school both ways uphill in the snow with bad shoes on. Speaking of snow, how's the East Coast right now?
East Coast right now is good. It was not good last week. Last week we had, I threw a picture out there on Twitter. My pool was open and it was actually snowing and hailing into the pool. It has been ridiculous. So last week was no golf for me, but coming up this week, now it's a beautiful day. It's like 65 out and this weekend's supposed to be pretty nice. So I have a Saturday morning and a Sunday morning round. Whether they both wind up being 9 or 18 holes, I literally don't know because the club has not decided what they're going to do yet. So they don't know whether they're opening up yet. It's not a Jersey rule. It's just my club rule.
So you're saying your golf course is about as confident of the month and situation as the actual status of weather right now in 2020.
Yeah, they do have a plan. The weather has no plan, but the course has a plan. It just depends on demand, and I get it. But still, at some point, I mean, come on, it's May 14th when we're recording this. Can I play 18 holes, please? It's enough that we have to go off in twosomes every 16 minutes, which is a state rule. But please just let us play 18 holes. It would be nice to get a full round of golf in.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see the different tones coming from the different locations in the country and how we're dealing with being able to play this game we absolutely love. Rob, you and I had a chance to banter back and forth about a couple articles that have been put out, and it goes into the first real discussion of the day, which is effectively the COVIDian state of the game of golf. I've got these lists of things that should happen. I know the PGA Tour brought out something like a 37-page paper on safety standards, which I'm sure everyone reads to its entirety on tour. What I thought was funny, Rob, is I'm reading. So, for example, one of the articles I'm reading, it's got 12 ideas, 12 things that golfers should do. And I think they're realistic in a couple of them. Social distancing, no shaking hands or contact, you know, that's fine. Then we start to get into the gray area stuff, washing your hands, touching your face, wearing a mask, cleaning bunker rakes after you touch them. Here's a couple of my favorite ones. This might be my favorite one in the entire one. Wipe down your golf bag.
Yeah, I mean, you can't even get around me. You can't get disinfectant wipes. I mean, I can only imagine wiping down your entire golf bag. It doesn't, I think that actually does very little for anything, since this is really an airborne contagion type of thing. So where do you get wipes?
Let's
I can get a wipe.
Let's eliminate the accessibility of wipes right now. And I've got a question for you. For me personally, one of my biggest pet peeves is a dirty golf club. It's always been a thing, I believe. You eliminate the variables by keeping your clubs clean so that every shot has an opportunity to be as good as it could possibly be. Now, I've got buddies who I'm pretty sure have dirt on their clubs that are older than for sure every golf club in my bag.
Yeah, it's like dirt from other states.
Yeah, it's like a living, breathing track record of where they've played golf. So you're telling me that this guy who can't clean a golf club is now planning to clean his bag after every round played?
I mean, the tour recommends, this is based on the tour safety guidelines, which, by the way, a lot of people on social media were kind of like up in arms, because I think I saw some sort of stats that there would be like 1,100 people on site. 400 of those will be tested. I don't know why or how they determine that. And people are like, this is ridiculous. It's not safe enough. And it wasn't tour people playing that, just like kind of like media people that were talking about that. I mean, just don't worry about it. Just watch golf. Just enjoy that. Don't get all up in arms. They're doing the best that they can. But I don't think wiping down your own golf bag is high up there. Definitely clean your clubs. I mean, please, come on. They're your clubs. I understand they hit the dirt all the time, but it's pretty simple to do that. Or give the guy $5 at the end of the round if you got one of those courses.
So let's take a couple minutes here to think as sort of a PSA for the crew that are following along, trying to figure out what makes most sense from a when I golf, what should I do perspective. And I'll put this back, Rob, to the first time I played after this. I don't even know what to call it anymore. The Rona took over, and there was Rona takeover 2020. I had Lysol soaked pieces of paper towel in Ziploc bags in my bag, and I was wiping my ball down after every time I pulled it from the cup. And I've definitely stepped away from that. I do have a towel that I wet before I go out there with a little bit of water in my bag, just ready to continuously wet it as I go. So the ball is staying clean, but it's not being disinfected. Do you think it's a stretch to have people disinfect while they're out there? I know the tour says that they're encouraging golfers to disinfect after every single hole.
I think that's an abundance of caution. First off, they can get everything that you need, right? If you, the tour has access to all that. They want wipes, they can get wipes. They want gel, they can get gel. They, you know, whatever, spray, it doesn't matter. And there's a caddy to kind of take care of that stuff. For you, I mean, I think I talked about it a little bit last week. I think it's a little overkill to have to worry about that. I mean, who knows? Maybe we're in the age where Golf Pride or Lampkin or somebody is going to come up with germ resistant grips for everybody now too. I mean, you never know. I mean, there's people out there that are kind of capitalizing and moving forward with what we have. But I think that's a little overkill. Yeah, the distancing is the number one thing. If you're going to touch a flag stick, you're not supposed to. So what are you doing? You know, there's a lot of things in these rules for the everyday golfer that hopefully people have been going to the store and practicing these things regularly as well. Like, it's probably not the best thing to take your phone out in the store, put it to your face, that type of stuff. Wear your mask there and, you know, use a disinfectant wipe on the cart. I mean, these are pretty simple. A lot of it is common sense. I think with the tour, they're going to be overly cautious, because if you do get someone that tests positive, then all right, who have you come in contact with? And you know, it's kind of like can spiral from there.
It is nice. I believe the tour already stated that they would not be putting people on blast who were to test positive should they choose to, or should it happen, and that they're allowing individuals to admit to it, but they aren't. They have no plans to announce it the way we saw a couple NBA teams did early on, things like that.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. That was a crazy day for sure.
Yeah.
There are some points in here that it's kind of like this article is based off of what the tour is planning on doing and then how you can adapt that for your own golf experience. And there's a point in here, ask your club to cut more holes on the putting green. Can you imagine going in to your club and saying, "Hey, can you cut some more holes on this?"
I love it.
I know you've got 12, but my green, you're allowed to putt for 10 minutes prior to your round. That's it. And only a maximum amount of four people can be on it. And it's a good size. It's like three tiers. There's plenty of holes. I mean, I don't know where these, what these people are asking for, but it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I think there are better ways about it. I mean, they do offer those, even though I don't care for them, the non-hold putting sticks, basically, where you have a slightly rounder element and you can putt to it and hit it without actually grabbing your ball out of the hole.
Yeah, exactly.
But hey, at least you have a putting green right now. But we're still classified as, they compared a putting green and a driving range here to a gymnasium and a bowling alley. So we are still very much pending the approval to be even able to use it prior to our round. So yeah, I'm eager. I don't care how many holes they put in there. I'm eager to just drop a ball and roll it before I go and play.
These simple things that we never thought would be just taken away from us. You know, it's just, it's kind of nuts. Like when I first joined a club to where I had a range, I could have, we could only do irons, but at least I had a range to warm up. I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to be there all the time. I'm going to warm up. And then eventually as the years go by, it's less and less. Now I would love that thing to open, but they won't. No ranges open in New Jersey, even if you did every other bay, doesn't matter. So this is where we are.
I wanted to step back a little bit because we talked about how dirty the clubs can get and you mentioned the grips. Do you think, Rob, that they intentionally make most golf grips black because it hides grime?
Oh yeah, I mean, have you ever gone through like an iomic phase, you know, where it's like, oh yeah, I want some iomic grips, and they just get dirty. White iomic grips look awesome for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, oh man, all right, forget it.
So they have one of my favorite products, and I know if JB's listening, he's going to get excited when I say it, except for all the right fact that I think he's got 90% of the stock still out there, is the Lampkin Grapes. But when you wipe down your grips with that stuff, which is phenomenal, the color that thing turns, if you've not done it or you convince a friend to use it, it's appalling. So to come for full circle on it, it's kind of like, yes, I appreciate the idea that in such a situation, we as golfers should be a little bit cleaner and respect the idea of maintaining some cleanliness while we're out there. But I think golfers as a whole have a long way to come before they're COVID appropriate.
Yeah, but I understand some of these things though, like social distance, no shaking hands, wash your hands, avoid touching your face, consider wearing a mask. Those are just common sense things that we should all be doing right now to begin with. So things that are named in the articles is what you can do, like limit your entourage. Don't bring family along. All right. Well, I was just about to invite the whole crew, but since this is 0.11, I'll just back off for now.
Right.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the stuff's common sense, but Rob, are you ever going to golf with a mask on?
That won't happen unless I can get one of those 2011 Martin Keimer match play buffs. You remember that? You know what I'm talking about?
I wish I did.
Oh, it's so back when I forget where, somewhere in Arizona where they had the Accenture match play, Keimer came out, and I think it was a really cold day. It was a Dove Mountain or something like that. He was wearing this buff. It was, nobody knew what it was. It was a face covering just because it was cold, but it was a fly fishing buff. And immediately when people found out, that place sold out. So I'll throw a pick out there for you. You can see it, but he was ahead of his time.
You know what? I think I do remember that now. I remember a couple of these colder ones back when we had tournaments. Was it Arizona that there was snow random days?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, and the things the guys would wear out to figure it out. It's like, you know what? Welcome to our world.
Yeah, it was cool. There's a friend of mine who was at TaylorMade at the time showed up at an event at Reynolds Plantation, and he had it, the actual buff, like not from Keimer, but he had bought one. It was pretty sweet.
That's awesome.
Good move.
Well, yeah, when it comes to where we are in the game, Rob, I think you're right. I hope people are being smart as much as they can, if not for them, but for others, and respect the decisions that other people make when they do go to the course. If it doesn't align with your beliefs, and it's the point where you think they're going overboard, let them, you know, all the power to them. It's no different than the clubs we pick and the clothes we wear. Like, I'm not going to judge you for wearing loudmouth, but I might talk about you a little bit quietly.
That's true. I mean, you're opening your, you've stimulated conversation when you do something like that. That's for sure.
Right. So, hey, I read an article this week and there was a conversation on the THP community forums talking about a guy who won a tournament, and just a basic tournament. Rob, you wouldn't think much of it until you found out that he won the tournament using only a putter.
Yeah, that's when I first heard that, I was like, all right, what's going on? Is this some sort of fake thing? Like those people who run marathons and they take a shortcut and nobody sees it or something? Like what's happening here? And it was a man who is going to be 61, apparently, but who looks like 35. I'll give that guy credit. I didn't think that he was, I thought that was somebody was being punked, but he shot 84 using only a putter for the whole round. And it wasn't the putter that he practiced with because he broke it. He was using a Scotty Cameron. He broke it. So he bought the putter for $299 at a Goodwill shop.
That's $2.99 for those listening, not in the Odyssey or Scotty realm of today.
Yeah, not sure what head cover he had on it, but we'll get to that later. That is now he won the D Flight at Wild Horse Pass in I guess Arizona. The D Flight, and he shot 84 with his putter. Something doesn't add up to me.
So D Flight. I want to know how hard this golf course is.
Well, from the video, it would look like everybody's using a putter. It didn't look like it was in the best shape.
It looked a little bit burnt over. The video I watched of him driving down a fairway that was sort of fairway, sort of waste area.
Yep.
But it's not really. I've got a number of concerns when it comes to it, Robin. I think the biggest one is that while I appreciate that people play this game the way they want to, golf has basic design elements that make it golf. And I mean, I enjoy mini putt as much as the next guy. And I'm sure we've all hit the one that ricochets off the wall, bounces cross country, goes about 40 feet and lands on a different green way on the other side of the compound. But I've never really thought that golf had a place where you'd use a putter all the way around. I almost feel like that's a bit of a disrespect to the game.
It's a disrespect to your competitors, that's for sure. It's like, yeah. I can do this with a putter. Apparently he hits 200 yards off the tee and he got bored with the game. So his friend said, why don't you challenge yourself and just use a putter? I think that's pretty remarkable. It's stupid too. At the same time, I think that's kind of what you're leaning towards.
I should have done my research, Rob, because when someone says they're bored of something, I can only assume that to mean that they're exceptional at it. Especially if they continue to do it in a different way. And I've every once in a while you read a story about a guy who plays righty and then goes, well, this is getting too easy for me, so I'm going to switch to lefty. That's curious. That's interesting to me. And it presents a unique challenge. I would love to know what this guy's capable of with a full 14 club setup. And if it's not, you know, better than par on every round, maybe, just maybe, golf is not the game for him.
Yeah, that just doesn't make any sense to me. There's got to be something else to this. That no one would go out with just a putter and just decide to do this. It just doesn't make any sense. I can't get over it. Can't wrap my head around it. I mean, could the guy with maybe old handicap rules, I guess you could play with just a putter. And then when you qualify for D Flight, which do you even have to qualify for D Flight? You know what I'm saying? Then could you just throw 14 clubs in a bag and then all of a sudden be so much better, you know, than everyone else? There's something peculiar about being I think the D Flight I can't get past and decides to play with a putter and say, I'm just going to beat these guys all day.
So that kind of segues into my next question for you, because I can't decide how I feel about it either. What would possess someone to play golf with a putter only because they don't think the game is interesting enough with 14 clubs, but then enter a tournament?
I don't know. If you were to play, so say you were to, you played probably in a 3-club event or something like that, right?
Where
like
three. I try not to. I know what you're talking about, but no, it's not my thing.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If I was to say you're going to get one club to use to get around the golf course, what would you pick? Would you pick your putter?
Well, you may as well just call me Roy right now.
I mean, what would you pick a 7-iron?
I'm taking the 7-iron, man. You have to.
I don't know.
Would you take a hybrid? What do you do from 50 yards of the hybrid? I suppose the same thing you do with a putter.
You could do, yeah. I mean, if he got around that way, obviously there's not a lot of force carry on the course that he was playing, right?
That was my thought as well. Yeah. And that comes down to my question again on the difficulty of the golf course as a whole. I'm looking at the layout of my home course right now, and I'm four holes in and I'm already hating life using a putter. You know, there's force carry on at least two of them.
Yeah.
There's no real landing areas on a couple. You have no choice. And especially like you have elevated bunkers that have a sloped green to the water on the other side of it. If you're in that bunker with a putter, what do you do?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you need loft. I mean, that's number one thing. And you need 3 to 4 degrees of loft on a putter is not going to, it's not going to help you. On my second hole on my course, I'd be done. I'd have to putt across a bridge, you know, for the second shot and so forth. But this whole thing's fishy. I don't like it at all. I'm really getting kind of pissed off thinking about it.
It makes me think of Tin Cup every time it comes up.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got the moment where he goes out and beats the local guy with garden tools and a baseball bat, and it drives the dude nuts, as you can clearly see when he's driving off at the end and get the hell off my golf course is his final thought as he's handing him the money. And then he goes out, snaps all of his clubs in a tournament, and finishes with even par on the back of a 7-iron. And then he, you know, connects with his not so buddy David.
Yeah, David.
And he said, "Hey, you ever par the back nine with a 7-iron?" He goes, "You know, it never occurred to me to try." It's like, you know, I think it's funny that he says that, because it's one thing to occur to you to try; it's another thing to commit to that change full time. Like, we are taking this to a place where people wouldn't even consider as an option. And it once again comes to back to why.
Dude, he showed up at that event with premeditated putter. That's what you're trying to say right now. Because when you're a competitor, think about that. Say you're a competitor against this guy, and you look in his bag and he's got a putter.
He doesn't have a bag, man. He's probably got balls in his pocket.
It. Yeah,
he's carrying the putter around with him.
The putter, it'd be better if there was no bag and there was just a box. There's like a sleeve, like three balls, and he's got just the putter is strapped into the back of the cart, you know, no bag or anything. This guy showed up like that to kick your ass. It's unbelievable. That's just such a it's a jerky move.
Yeah. Well, an 84 is not going to get it done against me. So he better go to the practice round or practice facilities, which probably aren't open in his state either, and figure out how to improve.
Well, he got rewarded for his win with some sort of, I don't know what it is, wine glass or something. And then he got bumped to B flight.
Yeah, the B flight guys will not be as polite as the D flight guys, and a dude shows up with a putter.
So in B flight, do you think this guy's just using a putter?
I hope they change the venue. I hope they look at that tournament director, looks at that and feels that it's a mockery of what this game represents. I hope they transition the course to a place where you actually have to carry the ball. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this guy, like a magician, is better than Rory out there and can flight the ball with a putter. I'm guessing he can't, and he's playing old man golf where you just kind of rake it down the fairway, rake it towards the green, rake it at the hole, and see if he can make that putt. you know, I hope this forces them to make a change, because that, to me, that's just gross, man.
I'm just, well, I'm glad that he's social distancing, because he's going to, because nobody's going to want to hang out.
Yeah. I think he's going to have a hard time finding a Sunday game with one club in his bag.
Yeah, that's good. He doesn't have to really worry about wiping down grips. He only wipes down grip. That's all he needs. And then here's the last thing. He beat his competitor, Angelo Faux, F-A-U-X, by 6 strokes to win. Faux means fake in French, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm still not convinced this story's real. I still think this is like somebody in makeup.
I don't know. It's worse, the fact that you're that cultured, or the fact that you've now got me questioning yet another thing I've read on the internet.
We're in trouble this week.
I can't go off course because I'm speechless, Rob. I got
nothing. Just play the putter. Just play back and play.
Oh man. Well, there's those chippers, right? So I suppose you could make it work with a chipper, but I don't know how you'd putt like that.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember Tiger with his, he was so good with his 3-wood from like collection areas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just so sweet to watch. So back then I would emulate it, but with like a hybrid, it really works. I mean, it's good, but I can't do it anymore. I mean, I don't carry a hybrid.
How about from 70 yards, force carry?
Forced carry.
How's that 3-wood looking?
Not looking good.
Is it one length?
Yeah, maybe, you know, in a 3-club tournament, I think Bryson would have an advantage, actually, because he's got 3 1 length clubs. It's like hitting the same thing. Just worry about the loft.
So I think I have been emotionally battered by this conversation. I think the game that we love has been put into question.
Yeah, that I'm ready to move on of this Faux story.
Yeah, save us, Rob. Let's find something else to talk about before this gets a little bit ugly.
Well, there's been a hot debate on THP this week about iron covers. Now we can talk about different covers of clubs, but iron covers in particular. Now, I don't have a lot of backstory with you and iron covers, but you're mentioned a hell of a lot in that thread. Can you give me a little insight as to your opinion? And I guess there's some sort of experience with iron covers, or at least run-ins.
Rob, I said save me by changing the topic. I didn't say save me by changing the topic to something else that blows my mind.
I don't know. I'm generally curious.
I was hoping we go to like divots in a fairway or something painful like that.
You got to face your fear head on.
God. What I love about the iron cover conversation is how emotionally invested people are in it.
And they do. They get crazy.
It has nothing to do with whether they want to use them. It almost always goes down to the decision from other people to use them.
Yes.
And how frustrated they are that their playing partner uses them. Now, here's one of my favorite arguments against it. And that is, having an iron cover makes you a slow golfer. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there's definitely an extra step involved. But you're talking at people need to clean their clubs. You definitely need to clean them before getting back in that iron cover, right? That little cozy thing.
Well, I think you do and you don't, but honestly, if your plan is to clean your club, and unless I'm wrong, the time it takes to put on an iron cover is about 1 second. And let's say we hit 70 shots. That's an extra 70 seconds around.
I think if you're going to have the iron cover, did you see the picture I posted that was at my member guest a few years ago? I had to snap a creeper pic of this bag.
No.
The guy was all Callaway. I finally found it. It was buried deep in my phone photos, right? There was this guy had an all Callaway bag, mismatched wood covers, you know, like they were from different years and so forth. But all the Callaway irons had these white with like a furry inside, I mean, as white as possible, iron covers on every iron. They were lined up like pristine in the bag. And then this big obnoxious green money cover, like mallet, that was on there as well. I guarantee you, if you see someone like with iron covers like that, that is not a quick golfer. Guaranteed. I will tell you that.
So you're saying it's not so much that people who choose to use iron covers are inherently slow because they use iron covers. They're slow because the people who use iron covers are slow golfers to begin with.
I think there's a correlation. Whether I can scientifically prove it, I don't know. But I'm not willing to try. I'm just willing to be opinionated on the subject.
That is such a big stretch, and I love it because I really hope someone is listening to the podcast right now and saying this, you know, bleepity bleep needs to check himself. And if you want to, at Rob Miller Time on Twitter,
here comes,
lay it on him.
Let's talk about it. There's more people on my side. I will say that.
So let's go in a different direction here. Let's say, kind of like the jogger or the high top or whatever. Let's say this is a trend that just happens to hit.
Oh, right? Wow.
Let's say it becomes a thing. Is it time for these trinket companies to start putting out iron head covers as opposed to just putter covers? Would you like some exceptionally fancy head covers for your irons? And Rob, and if they were super duper sweet, would you be more inclined to put them in your bag?
Boy, you're describing, like, first of all, you're describing like a unicorn in the golf world of sweet iron covers. It's like a, kind of like an oxymoron from what I've seen that's out there. But I think an accessory, you said trinket company. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
A little knick-knack manufacturer.
Yeah. Little knick-knack, paddywhack, give your golf bag some iron head covers. Boom. Well,
everybody would, anybody who had made something like that, obviously you want to sell more merchandise. And since someone has nine irons or whatever in their bag, including wedges, then, hey, if you could sell them, yeah, that's great, right? But most of the time, you just see these kind of generic neoprene things that are out there. I have a set that I got in a trade like 2003 or something. They're tour stage during my JDM days, and they don't even stay on the bag. I use them when I travel. I put them on the iron so they don't clink around on a plane. But not during a round. Certainly, it would never cross my mind to put an iron cover on there. I happen to love, and I was talking to some people back and forth, I think on Twitter about it, or on the forum, that you give me a chromed iron with some bag chatter on it, and that's awesome because that's what I grew up playing, and I love to see it. I don't like it on satin as much. I don't want black irons. I don't want whatever you want to call it, whatever your stealth gray or however, PVD finish and so forth. I would rather have chrome irons. And Chris Rochelle will back me up on this at Mizuno, is that it is so hard to chrome an iron and make sure that it's absolutely perfect. It's a beautiful thing. Chrome irons are the absolute best, regardless of what you think, Dan.
I could see Chris saying that.
Yeah.
So
kind of many, many conversations with him about it.
So your short answer is no. Your long answer is I'm going to make this really detailed by still saying no.
Yes, both no and then like capital no.
I'm going to put a challenge out there right now. If there's anyone listening who can actually build head covers and has like legitimate creativity and can make legitimately good looking iron head covers, I would rock them. I would absolutely rock them. And I'd put them on MBs. I would put MBs in my bag with iron head covers on them.
All right. If somebody out there has great iron head covers, I'll make a rendering of them. I'll put them on our graphic where we have the golf bag in the corner for off course THP. I'll even put them on the graph. I'll recreate them or just Photoshop your beautiful iron covers. Again, oxymoron, but I'll throw them out there. If they're sweet, we'll go for it.
All right. I have two questions as a follow-up to this. Right. One, a question for the listeners. Come at me at Canadan Golf on Twitter. What's more offensive, using a putter only for a round of golf or being an MB player with iron head covers? That's your question.
I like that a lot. And I think we need to do a social media poll. I think that's
got to be like that. And I got one for you, Rob. Because you're so strongly opposed to iron head covers, what is worse to you, a person who has head covers on all their clubs, which inherently includes the irons, or someone who at the very start of the round takes every head cover off and puts it in the cart, the collecting area of the cart, and lets their clubs bash around for 18 holes. What's worse for you?
Dude, Dan, you're killing me today.
Yes, I am. You're welcome. Hey, that's what happens when you go from that topic to this one, is I become the devil. All right, so let's go.
I had a friend. Notice I said had a friend.
Playing partner.
We used to go on a trip every year, and we went to Myrtle Beach one year. It was, you know, eight of us. We do like a Ryder Cup style event. And he's like, oh, I just got new Cleveland everything. And I'm like, oh, that's sweet. We load the things up in the cart. He pulls every head cover off, tosses them in the basket, floors it, and you just hear click, 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 just rattling on the metal woods. And I'm like, dude, you can't do that. What are you doing? He's like, what's the matter? This will make you happy. He said they slow them down. So he didn't mind that they all got clinked up and chipped and everything like that. They slowed them down. Like, you got to look for it. Where did I put it? I got to put it back on. Forget it. Just rip them all off. He did not have iron covers. So we're really just talking three or four head covers, including the putter.
Ooh.
And it's just, it sounds like really bad wind chimes, you know, just rum, you know, just boom, you hit the, you can, you know what that sound when your clubs like jump out of your bag when you hit a hill and stuff, like, oh, it's just awful.
I know awful, the sound. Yeah.
Awful. That's worse than taking care of your stuff. So I give you a pass there, you know, say you bought Miuras and you don't know whether you want to keep them or not, and you want to use iron covers and then decide to sell them because you might, I could see it. I could see the protection, but it just seems a little, I mean, you're slamming these things into the dirt all the time. How much are you going to protect them?
I'm incredibly pleased to know that I've created a scenario where iron covers sound appealing to you. I feel like that's my moral victory of the day. And will lead me into the weekend with a wave of confidence that I didn't know I'd ever have.
Yeah, if the alternative is just let your clubs get destroyed while just driving around the course, yeah, I could please cover them. I'm fine with that. It's not gonna bother me. I'm not gonna lose sleep over it, but just that's fine.
So I've seen some clubs for sale on eBay, and I always see in these other companies who do the buy sell trade stuff. And I see the like new condition, the excellent condition, and then these good or bargain condition. And I feel like your buddy's feeding into the bargain condition.
It's awful. I mean, have you ever seen like a TaylorMade Ghost putter that gets chipped up?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was playing in, what was it? Some sort of charity thing one time. And we had a four caddy and he'd say, keep your putter head cover. And I'll just take all your foursomes putters. I said, no. You're not just walking around with four putter heads clanking together while you're, you know, walking up to the green. It's like, either I just take my putter or, you know, please use the head cover. And they're pretty good with that. I understand you don't want to manage four head covers, but I had a buddy who got his putter really messed up by a caddy that way. Cause it was a white ghost putter and that just chips right off. I mean, you're not supposed to bang the heads together.
No. In fact, I have a firm rule with my friends that please don't make me watch you take a wedge and a putter to the green without the head cover on the putter.
Well, yeah, we can't all be like, you know, Anthony Griggs of Mesa, Arizona. So
yeah.
He doesn't care, but please. I mean, you get me going.
So iron covers with the Masters logo on it.
Iron covers with the Masters logo. I don't know why those are made.
You think they shouldn't exist?
They don't exist, dude. I hope they don't exist.
I was trying to go for two chances for you to rock something awesome in the bag, And I just don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think that wouldn't work with me.
So if you've made them, you better auction them off because they are in fact impossible and relics to the game of golf. So
now I'm going to have to do a search to make sure they don't exist.
Google Image is not a healthy place for iron head covers, clearly shown you in our picture of the week that we have here in our discussion, which is black iron head covers with big giant money signs on them with the numbers of the irons as well in beautiful yellow, maybe gold. Maybe it's plated gold.
Are those just made to be like parodies, right?
They're made to make you happy, Rob.
There's a 3-iron cover. There's not many 3-irons.
Oh, I bet those are MVs then.
They have to be MVs. They're probably like MP33s or something under there.
Oh, and they look
fantastic.
Well, we've got about 5 minutes left in our scheduled broadcast here. Rob, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about a video game imagery that you were provided recently. Lay it on me.
Everybody in the golf world on Twitter today pretty much retweeted the PGA Tour's trailer of, what is it? Is it PGA Tour 21? Is that what it's called?
I think it's called Not Tiger Woods PGA Tour insert year.
It's called Crash Bandicoot Golf from the graph. Reminds me of my PlayStation 1. The best thing, I've seen a couple things that are great. Good news, there's the FedEx Cup. They're battling for the FedEx Cup. I don't know if you realize that.
I did not realize that.
Finally, it's in simulator form. And they're on the tee at the Zurich. And it's Justin Thomas is on the cover, but it looks like it's him, he looks like his Titleist cap on and some khakis and a blue shirt, the official male golfer uniform. And he's about to rip his driver on a par 4 or par 5. And there's all these divots on the tee from the overhead shot. It's awesome. So I think it was the pro-am that this was occurring when they took that little screen cap, but it's not like Tiger Woods, man. When you go back and you look at all the different iterations of Tiger Woods, I mean, that EA Sports game, was it around since 99? Was it earlier? That's the earliest I found when I didn't really look before this, but it was around a long time. So at least what, 12? Something around there?
Yeah, it lasted a long time until it transitioned to, I believe, PS4 and Xbox One, where they took like 3 years to try and build what they were calling EA Sports Golf. And then it was EA Sports Rory. And it was a mess. It came out with like 3 courses. They were way behind the eight ball in just about every way. And yeah, it basically deleted the franchise from relevance, which is surprising. And the only competitor right now really is the golf club that allows you to build your own courses. So I don't know. I remember playing Tiger Woods back in the day. The skill stick was amazing. The way that you didn't just push a button anymore to play golf. That was cool. But I'll say the same thing I did last week when they showcased like a 3-second trailer of the game. Looks cool. I need more, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's dark times as far as golf video games are concerned. That's for sure. It's not like it was in the past. Do you know that the 11 Tiger PGA Tour 11 had the Boo Weekly short game challenge? Isn't that awesome to think about? I mean, like just so random.
So what is that? You the short game, so you do a couple chips and then you cast a couple into the water and see what kind of fish you can catch, or
you have to see if your short game measures up to Boo Weeklies.
Okay. So it's totally golf relevant, not like fishing or
it's like
hunting
big,
or
big breakish. Yeah. It's not fishing or hunting or gouging.
Oh, Boo Weekly. Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll see what it does. We'll see what it happens when they actually provide some more information. I mean, it's been so long since they've been genuinely relevant that you got to wonder what they've got up their sleeves from a development standpoint.
Yeah. You know, the only way right as of now, like I said, need more information. That's fine. If it's cool, we could play it like online and so forth against your buddies. That'd definitely be cool. But based on the trailer, I think the only thing that's going to save it, if there's a downloadable content of infomercial clubs that you can use, cause I'd be down with that. Like I get some Spin Doctor wedges and maybe like a Hammer X driver. that type of stuff. You know how you go through your career mode? That'd be pretty sweet.
That's where you're going with that, is it?
That's all it. Right.
I'll be excited to play it if they let me put head covers on my irons.
Yeah, I'm looking
full for customization.
I'm looking for a head cover for my Alien Wedge if you can find one. Maybe just the driver cover. Maybe I'll just go with that again.
I don't think we're off course this week, Rob. I think we are lost in a crazy time. I think we got to shut it down. I think that's it for episode 5. Hopefully we get 495 more of these. For those who are listening at home, I really want to take a moment to say I hope you have a chance to enjoy some of the other podcasts that are going on the THP Radio Network right now. Our good friend Adam over at Golf Unfiltered continuously bringing interesting conversations on his podcast, as well as THP's Range Days, which has to do with almost exclusively iron testing this year up at Club Champion in Illinois. An incredible experience. I'm doing that with staff writer J-Man from the forum. And I do hope if you are interested in talking about the game of golf, you join us on social media for a discussion. Again, we're on Twitter and Instagram at Off Course THP. Rob is at Rob Miller Time, and I am at Canadan Golf. And we do both discuss these crazy topics like guys playing with putters only and iron head covers on the THP forum community. So if you do enjoy that discussion, do feel free to join us over there. Roberto, Rob, what else could possibly be said for episode 5?
I think all I want to say is we appreciate everybody for listening. Please click subscribe, whatever you're listening on, SoundCloud, iTunes, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. I think we talked about plenty of off-course topics this week. I think I need a nap.
We need some fresh content. Lay it on us. What should we talk about next week for episode 6? We drop new episodes every Friday. So for myself and Rob, thank you so much, and we'll see you again next week.
Thanks, everyone.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.